In the first reading today, St. Paul tells us that the glory that will be revealed in us is nothing compared to the sufferings of the present time. But he also makes clear that the present time is a time of suffering. All creation, he says, is in travail even until now, and even we who have the Spirit as the first fruits, even we are in travail as we groan waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. And so none of us is free from the sufferings that are just part and parcel of every human life. The problem is that we don't see suffering as anything good. We see it only as a horrible thing that we want to escape. Now, that's again a natural thing. Suffering is suffering. Who wants it? And yet at the same time, if we look at it and say, well, St. Peter tells us that we will share in the glory of Christ only to the degree that we have shared in the suffering of Christ. Now ask yourself, how much do you want to share in the glory of Christ? Sadly, when it comes to looking at suffering, most of us will say, well, just a little bit is okay. Really? It's like about 20 years or so ago when they asked people from Minnesota, which would you prefer to be without? Heat in the winter or air conditioning in the summer? Now, only a Minnesotan could answer this way, and they said, oh, we couldn't live without air conditioning. Like, what kind of idiots are we? Really? Nobody on the face of the earth had air conditioning less than 100 years ago. People have used fire to heat things for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But we can't live without air conditioning. Really? You see how pathetic we have become. Ask the young people, can they live without their stupid phone? Can they live without video games? Can they live without a microwave? These are things that no human being had ever even seen or thought of less than 50 years ago. And the smartphone has only been a little more than 15 years. And now we cannot live without it. Things have gotten so bad that the military, for instance, has had to completely revamp basic training. Because they would give an order to the young people and they'd say, no, I don't want to do that. It's like, no, we didn't ask you if you want to do it. It was an order. Okay, you can go ahead and do it. I won't. So they've had to completely revamp it because they have to teach these kids a little discipline. The seminaries now have had to add an extra year because there is so little that these kids have when they come in. And they're so attached to their technology that the first year in seminary now, they have to take their phones away from them. They can only use their phone on Saturday and only for a limited amount of time. Otherwise, they've had to take them away because they weren't learning anything. Because they were so attached to playing on their phone that they didn't have the ability to do anything else. And so we look at what life has been like throughout history. Life was hard for people. Just think of what we take for granted today that nobody ever had. They didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't have heating. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have a refrigerator. They didn't have a freezer. They didn't have a stove. all these things that we just push a button or turn a knob and there it is, and we've got it there, and boy, I'm hungry, I'll just go over to the pantry or I'll open the refrigerator. There was no such thing. And we have just simply learned to take it all for granted. Even something around here, as simple as mosquito control. And you want to talk about making your life miserable. Those vile little things are horrible. And yet, they didn't have any way of dealing with that 100 years ago, except swatting them until to no end. If you've ever been up north, you know how that is, between the mosquitoes and the biting flies and so on. And just to think that was the norm for people's lives. And we've tried to remove all of these things to make our lives more pleasant. In some ways, that's a very good thing. In some ways, it has backfired horribly. Because now we look at it and say, well, what I don't want is any kind of suffering, no kind of inconvenience. Again, just think about how we complain. I don't have to look any further than myself. We're so accustomed to going 70 miles an hour out on the freeway that if we slow way down because there's a traffic jam, we get really frustrated and impatient. I just smile because I think there was something they came out with a few years ago, and they said in New York City right now, the average speed of the traffic in downtown Manhattan is like 2 miles an hour. Whereas 100 years ago, when it was horses and carriages, the average speed was about 3 miles an hour. It's like, really? All of our technology, we've slowed everything down. Isn't that great? But now, if we're going 2 miles an hour, which is the norm 100 years ago, we whine and we complain? Because this is unacceptable. Now that is while we are sitting in our heated or air-conditioned car. So we're relatively comfortable while we're sitting in the traffic jam and complaining all the way, of course. So now what happens if there's some real suffering that comes our way? What are we willing to do for others out of charity? Look at the gospel reading, and Jesus tells Peter and James and John that they are going to be fishers of men. They're going to be going after souls. There's a price to be paid for somebody's soul. Look at the price that Jesus paid so that our souls could be redeemed. And remember that he has given you and me the privilege of participating in the work of redemption. We have the great gift of being able to actually take part in bringing about the conversion and salvation of sinners. Where St. Paul says that in his first chapter in the letter to the Colossians. I make up in my body for what is lacking in the suffering of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't do enough, but rather what it meant is that the mystical body of Christ is also to participate in the work of Christ. There is no greater privilege in the world than to be able to do that. And yet, how many of us look at the cross and say, praise the Lord, I have a participation in the suffering of Christ. I have actually a share in the work of salvation. God loves me so much that he is giving me the opportunity to be able to do this for others. And I'm not hearing that. It's more of, I don't want that. Why would I do that? So now as we look at things, and we all have children and brothers and sisters and relatives and neighbors and friends who have fallen away from the faith, what are we willing to do to get them back? Traditionally, it's been fasting and prayer and suffering. Are we willing to do that? How much does that person's soul mean? How much does their salvation mean to us? Again, when we ask that question, how much does my soul mean to God? Look at the crucifix. That's how much one soul means to God. So how much does the soul of somebody you love mean to you? Does it mean enough to give up cookies or candy or, heaven forbid, your telephone or whatever else? Oh, no. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to have to deal with saying no to myself for the good of somebody else. So what was just a normal way of life 100 years ago, we're not even willing to try because it's inconvenient to us. Do you see how pathetic we've become? So our goal is to get to heaven. But it's not just simply to get to heaven. Our goal is to love God as much as we possibly can for the rest of eternity. Now, a lot of people have this very unfortunate idea that all that matters is just eking in. Now, granted, if all you do is eke in, praise God, you got there. Don't aim for that. As I like to say in the classes that I teach, if you aim for the lowest rung in purgatory, because if you get to purgatory, you will eventually get to heaven. You can't go backwards. So all I want is to get to the lowest rung in purgatory. What happens if you miss? Even if you fell just a centimeter short. Bummer, huh? Aim high. If you're aiming for the highest rung and you miss and you catch the bottom rung of purgatory, you're going to be okay. If you're aiming low and you miss, that's eternity. But see, again, so many of us have bought into this false idea that everybody goes to heaven. And of course, what we like to be able to do is convince ourselves of how good we are. I find it interesting sometimes people who either are converting to the faith or people who have been away from the confession for years and years and years, very frequently the first thing out of their mouth when they sit down for confession is, "Well, I'm really a good person, Father." It's like, that's good, but now let's go on to your confession. "Well, I really haven't done anything that was that bad." It's like, that's good, so let's... Well, then they tell you their confession. Oh, my goodness, it's enough to make your hair curl. And it's like, what do we need to do to not be a good person? What is it that's going to be really bad? Basically, it comes down to, well, I didn't murder anybody, so therefore I'm a good person. Like, we need to start looking at what we're doing and saying, let's quit excusing ourselves. Let's quit playing this game that says that I'm in already. I don't need to suffer. I don't need to be purified. I don't need to pray. I don't really need to do anything. It's just a done deal because I'm a good person. Show me anywhere where either the Bible or a saint has said that, or anything even close to that. I've never seen it. And so you have to ask yourself, who are we willing to listen to? Satan has come up with some pretty good lies, and he has convinced us of all kinds of things that are just plain wrong. But it's a whole lot more pleasant to listen to than the truth. Because we don't want to hear things like, if you want to be my disciple, you have to take up your cross. We don't like to hear things like St. James saying, rejoice in whenever you're involved in some kind of trial. We don't like to hear St. Peter saying, rejoice in the measure in which you share in the suffering of Christ. We don't even like to hear what we heard in the gospel today, that the glory to be revealed in us is so much greater than any of the suffering that we're going to endure here. And we don't want to hear that. We want to hear that God wants everything to be easy, and everything should be fun, and everything should be exciting, and on and on and on. If you read the Bible, it was written for people who were suffering. That's what it's all about. People throughout history have suffered. And we've tried to remove that. And we really need to stop and ask ourselves, are all these things really God's will? All these conveniences, all these things that have taken all of our suffering away, all they've done is actually cause a whole different variety of suffering. I mean, we think that we're going to outsmart God. He's got an infinite imagination. So every time we come up with something to be able to get rid of this or that suffering, well, then all of a sudden there's this new disease that came along, or now there's these new problems that have come along, or whatever. You know, so, all right, now we have our young men sitting in front of the TV for hours and hours and hours playing video games. They're absolutely addicted to it. And now what's happened? Well, the scientific studies have demonstrated it is literally changing the brain, the physiology of the brain, so that it is not developing correctly. The frontal lobe in men doesn't develop until they're in their late 20s. And so now it's being misformed or deformed, so that when they're supposed to be able to be responsible men, their brain has changed. So again, we need to look at some of these things and ask ourselves, are these things really good? And it's hard to look at that, and it's hard to say we need to let go of some of these things because everyone else is doing it, and this is fun. But is it what God wants for us? Is it going to lead us to heaven? That's what we need to be looking at. And if we can even say, all right, if I can let this go, pray for detachment, let it go, then I can unite that with the suffering of Christ. It's a suffering, it's real. It's a new kind of suffering. No one in history has ever had to deal with the suffering of giving up video games, but if that's what you're addicted to, then give them up and offer that. Unite your suffering with Christ. But look at whatever it is. Maybe video games isn't your thing, but what is? What are you looking at on that stupid computer? What are you wasting your time with? What are you doing so you're not praying? What are you doing so that you're not being productive? Get rid of it and offer it. Unite it with the suffering of Christ. Maybe we don't have to be out chopping wood like people did 100 years ago. Maybe we don't need to go to the market every day because we don't have a refrigerator and a freezer like the people 100 years ago. But you know what? People 100 years ago didn't have to detach from their phones and their computers and the internet and video games and whatever else. So now we have some new kinds of things that we can offer to God. So we've been able to overcome some types of suffering. Now we've got some others. Let's look seriously at what's going on. What is all of this doing to our souls? And what is it ultimately doing to our salvation? Those are the kinds of considerations that we need to look at. Not just the immediate, well, I want some pleasure, I want some fun, I want some excitement. Let's look long term and ask ourselves really seriously, is this leading me toward the Lord? Is it leading me away from the Lord? Is it making me more selfish or is it making me more selfless? Am I willing to give some of this up and offer that for my siblings, my children, my friends who have fallen away from the faith? Whatever, there are so many people who need prayer. Are you willing to do that for somebody else? Because we're called to share in the glory of Christ. But that's only going to happen if we share in the suffering of Christ. That's the point St. Paul is making. That's the same point St. Peter made. That's what the scriptures teach us. So it's not an easy message. It's not a fun message. It's not pleasurable. It's not exciting. It's the cross. And that's what Jesus asked us to take up. That's what he asked us to do. And now we have to ask our own selves, do I love him enough to do for him what he has done for me?